But title of my message this morning is Everybody Needs Some. Yeah, everybody needs some patience. Everybody needs some patience. We're going to be looking at James chapter 5, verses 11, or 7 through 11 this morning. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Before we open God's word, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to open your word, Lord, to study it. Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, just to follow you. Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, to be more like you. Father, let our moderation be known unto all men. Father, help us to always be looking to you. Lord, I just ask us, help us, Lord, to develop this spiritual gift. Father, I ask that you just help us, Lord, to be more like you. Father, I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit have full reign here this morning. And we ask these sayings in Jesus' name. Amen. In James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, the Bible says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," or the farmer, "waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath" what? "Long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of" what? "Patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the" what? "Patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." You know, everybody needs some patience. And if you look at this text right here, we see that that word is predominant in this passage. You know, signs that you might be impatient. Now, there's nothing wrong in being early to some place so you get your right place in line. But have you ever gone to maybe a basketball game or a movie theater or a restaurant, and the line's out there, and you're over there walking, and you see a group of people much bigger than your group walking too, and you say, "I gotta beat them to the door." That might be a sign that you're impatient. When you're racing to be first in line, when you want to have the first thing, we want to beat everybody out. Being early is one thing, but racing in front of other people to get there is another thing. See it at Whataburger. You see it everywhere. People just trying to beat you to the door. You might be impatient. This has been my challenge this year. Teaching school, teaching math. You give an assignment, and you start working with a kid, and you try to make them work like Angelo, and try to make it work, and it's not going anywhere. And really, what the kid wants you to do is wants you to do his work for him. And sometimes we watch someone start something, maybe our family, somebody in our family, or maybe a student, or maybe a co-worker, and they're doing it painfully slow for your liking. And you can't stand it anymore. And you say, "Get out of the way, I'll finish this. Get out of the way, I'll do this." Been there? Been there racing to the door? Been there taking over something and finishing it for them instead of letting them get experience and work through it? Or you're having a conversation and someone starts talking, all of a sudden you start talking over top of them and you never let them finish of thought. We talked about this in school, about how in English people are not finishing thoughts. They're just going from one thing to another thing to another thing in their writing, because that's the way we talk anymore. But you know people like that, that you start talking and they don't listen. They just want to put their thought out there. I call them read-only memories. All you can get is you get stuff out. You can't get anything in. I had a coworker like that. That person was impatient. He was impatient. So these are signs that you might be impatient. In way of introduction, we see in this passage from James several things about patience. And then we'll get in the main part of the message. First of all, we see that patience is an issue of time. It says that a husband, a farmer, he doesn't plant one day and reap the next. He has to go out and he has to care for the crop, and he has to wait for God to provide the rain, wait for God to give the right conditions, wait for the plant to do the right thing in order to get the result. Patience is an issue of time. We often think of patience being something that's done over a longer period of time. Secondly, in verse 8, we see that patience is an issue of the heart. It says, be ye also patient. And what's the next phrase? It says, establish your hearts. If you have an impatient heart, your whole body is going to be impatient. Your whole being is going to be impatient. But folks, we're told to wait on the Lord. We're told to wait. And those things come from the heart. You'll have to want to do it to exercise patience. So patience is an issue of time. Patience is an issue of the heart. Patience can be lost. Have you ever said, I'm going to lose my patience with you? Been there, right? Look at verse 9. It says, grudge not one against each other, another brethren. Why would you grudge against? Because you're not patient with them. Because you're not patient with them. Lest ye what? Be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. God's watching us. You know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's used as long-suffering, enduring. All those words evoke the concept of being patient. Verse 10, patience is required when serving the Lord. Patience is required when serving the Lord. It says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of what? Of suffering, affliction, and lastly, of patience. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not what? Strive. James says it here, don't hold a grudge. Don't hold a grudge. But be gentle to what? All men, apt to teach. And the last word in this verse is patient. Lastly, patience is a product of endurance. You have to go through trials. You have to go through some period of time. You got to go through some test in order to develop patience. Boy, if they had a pill for patience, everybody would be rushing down the store to do it. Because it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. In verse 11 it says, behold, we count them what? Happy which endure. And then he uses the example. You've heard of the what? Patience of who? Job. Job. So this morning, I want to ask three questions about our level with patience and who we're patient with. The first one is, are we patient with people? Are we patient with people? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, now we exhort you, brethren. Paul's writing the church there, and he says, look, I want to encourage you to do this. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. And what? Be patient toward all men. You know those people that just make you go to your wit's end? That make you just run out of your patience? They exist. But you know that if you're the servant of the Lord, Paul's writing the church here. He says, look, be patient towards all men. That's tough. That's tough. You know, it's hard to be patient with people when they don't deliver. So are you patient with people when they don't deliver as promised? There's a lot of people that will say one thing and not follow through. The Bible calls them that they're men's pleasers. They want to say the right thing. They know what to say, but they don't know what they do. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 30, it says, what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came unto the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. I'm sure that the second son tried the father's patience. You know, it's hard to be, we expect God to be patient with us when we say things and we don't deliver. But folks, we know people ourselves that say they're going to help, that say they're going to do something. And then time passes by, they're going to complete a task, and they don't deliver. How do you react to that? We're supposed to warn them that are unruly. You're supposed to encourage them in love and not get angry. Just think of what we do to God. All the promises that we haven't delivered on. And we ask God to be patient with us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. So, can we be patient with people who don't deliver as they said they were going to? If you're a construction worker in San Antonio, or you ask for a construction project, you learn patience, right? Or your car. Your car is going to be ready Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. See, they don't deliver. And what does that do? That gets us at our wit's end. We go, why? But you know something? We're supposed to be long-suffering, which is patience. So are we patient with people when they don't deliver as promised? Are we patient with people when they don't deliver after asking you for more patience? There's a parable that Christ tells about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 18. In verses 24 and 26, he says, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. There was a king. And the king had these servants. And one of these servants owed the king 10,000 talents. And I'm sure that over a period of time, he said, it's time to pay up. I'll pay you. Next day. I'll pay you next week. And next week comes and it doesn't happen. I'll pay you tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. And so the king reckons with this. And that's what verse 24 says. And forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have what? Patience with me, and I will pay thee all. There was no way he could pay that amount of debt. He could be Bill Gates and not be able to pay that amount of debt. And he's begging for what? Patience. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? That guy who had patience given to him went to another fellow person and said, you owe me a couple of cents. and you need to pay up now. Grabbed him by the throat. He was not being patient because he didn't learn patience. Patience must be learned. And then threw him into prison for that. And it says that the king was angry. The king was angry. Folks, in today's world, there are people that will not deliver. They'll promise you the moon and they won't follow through. We're supposed to be patient and wait. Not give up. Not to give in. But the point is that we're supposed to encourage them to do what they're supposed to do. And then we all have needed patience from someone else at times. We need to be willing to do that to other people when they're in the same boat. So are we willing to be patient with people when they don't deliver? Are you willing to be patient with people when they are not devoted? You know, in our text, they use the life of Job. Job lost all of his substance, all of his cattle, all of his livestock, all of his animals in one day. And Job didn't reject God. Then Job loses all of his kids. And Job didn't reject God. Then Job is smitten with boils and things. And the Bible talks about he scraped the pus off his arms and his legs with a pot shirt. And his wife comes to him in Job chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. And says this. He says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." And that's where we start the issue of the patience. And then his friends come. And his friends say, "Look, you've done some gross sin in order to get this judgment on you." And for chapter after chapter, we hear that. And then Job keeps on trying to start justifying himself. Because after a while, you kind of lose patience, don't you? And he starts justifying himself, and then God corrects him in the end. But are we patient with people when they don't deliver? We ask God to be patient with us. Are we patient with people when they're not devoted? We ask God to be patient with us. Are we patient with people when they are demeaning? In verse 10 of our passage, it says, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of what? Suffering, affliction, and of patience." There's a very interesting story when David is running away from Saul. And in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, actually verse 9, it says, "Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah to the king." So this guy by the name of Shimei, he's walking down the road. He's cursing. He's throwing rocks at David. That's what happens before this. And it says, "Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah to the king." Because Shimei thought that Saul's family was mistreated. And he says, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David, who shall say then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said to Abishai, and to all of his servants, "Behold my son, which come forth of my bow, seeketh my life. How much more may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord had bidden him." And look at verse 12. "It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." When someone comes and gets up in your face and they demean you, can you patiently take it? You know, in everything there's a kernel of truth. And David basically says, look, he says, let's not react to this. Patience means what you do the first time. Do you overreact? Do you overreact? So nope. We don't know why he's doing this. And let God settle it out. And let God tell what's going on here. And then we'll know. And then we'll know. Folks, that takes patience. It takes patience to take things not in your own hands and sit and wait and look for the truth in it. So are we patient with people? Are we patient with people who say one thing and don't deliver? Are we patient with people who aren't devoted as we think they should be? Are we patient with people who are demeaning and actually will curse you? And let God say, he says, "I will repay. Vengeance is mine." See, patience is not taking matters in your own hands at times. So are you patient with people? Are you patient when other people prosper? In today's world, it's about who gets most wins. And are you patient when other people prosper in position? You know, Christ called out the Pharisees and he said, look at these guys. He said, they're hypocrites. They want to be always in the highest places and all the feast. And then he teaches this object lesson. In Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, it says, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him." Sometimes when you come to church, you want your seat. That's your seat. Now in the church, it seems to be the back ones. No one wants to sit in the front. And so basically, what Christ is talking about, he says, when you come in, you don't look for the best seat in the house to think that you're somebody. He says, sit not in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say unto thee, give this man place, and thou began with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You will never gain patience with a me-first attitude. You'll never get patience that way. Because you're always going to be looking at that person. Why is that person ahead of me in line? Why did that person get that? Why did that person get that promotion? Promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. Are you patient when other people prosper in position? Do you defer? Patience has an element of deferring in it. Are you patient when other people prosper in possessions? In Psalm chapter 37, verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then look at this. Fret not thyself because of who? Of him who what? Prospereth in his way. Don't worry about it. You do what you're supposed to do. Let him do what he's supposed to do. Let God sort it out. Don't worry about it. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, there's someone who wants to win at all cost. They're never patient. Folks, we need to let the Lord win in our life. That's where we get the fruit of the Spirit, patience. So are you patient with people who don't deliver? With people who aren't devoted? With people who demean you? Are you patient with other people when other people prosper in position? They get a better seat than you do. They get a better recognition than you do. Or do you get resentment? What does the passage say? Grudge not one against another, brethren. Lest ye be what? Condemned. Thirdly, are we patient in problems? Are we patient in problems? You know, they say that two certainties in life is death and taxes. Well, there's a third certainty in life, problems. Christ himself said, in this world ye shall have what? Tribulation. We're going to have problems. And the issue is, I'll give you three keys here to dealing with problems. Do you stay positive? James chapter 1 verse 2 and 3 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you what? Fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. See, how does your faith grow? How can you find solutions to problems if you never go to problems in the first place? How can you learn to add unless you have a math problem? How can you learn to multiply unless you have a math problem? So we get problems, we get instances in our life to help us to grow. And how do you react when something that doesn't go your way initially? You fly off the handle? You're not being patient. You try to blame somebody else for your dilemma? You're not being patient. You need to stay positive. So are you patient in problems? Do you stay positive? Are you patient in problems? Do you keep perspective? In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says this, and not only so, but we what? Glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Folks, it's going to happen. One of the things about patience is that you accept it. You accept what's happening. And you go through it. You endure it. And patience what? Experience. And experience hope. So, do you stay positive? Understanding that these things will increase your faith. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do you keep perspective when you're in tribulation? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 8 says this, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. See, trials will end. There is an end thing. The light is not at the is the end of the tunnel and not another problem. Not another train. But the issue is, dealing with problems, you need to stay positive about it. Understand that God puts these things in here to get you closer to Him, but the other choice is you get further away from Him. You know, Peter writes, he says, add to your faith, give all diligence, add to your faith and patience is in there. Patience is in there. It's right in the middle. So are you patient in problems? Do you stay positive? Do you have the right perspective? And lastly, do you stay persistent? Patience doesn't give up. Love is kind, patient, long-suffering, endures to the end, hopeth all things. All those things that we read about in 1 Corinthians a couple weeks ago in 13. Do you stay persistent in prayer? Psalm 40 verse 1 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. The psalm that we read earlier says, rest in the Lord and be patient and wait patiently for Him. Are we patient in practice? Are we patient in practice? Hebrews chapter 6 verses 13 through 15 talks about Abraham. What was Abraham promised? That he was going to be a great nation. What did Abraham do? He got impatient. When he thought that it was time for God to have acted and given him a son, he took matters in his own hands and had a kid with Hagar. Wasn't God's plan. And what did that bring? It brought conflict to the family. It brings conflict to the world. Because someone didn't have enough patience in God. God forgives it. And we know what happens later on. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiply now I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, remember patience has a concept of endurance in this. Finally, after decades, Abraham gets what God promised him. I honestly believe he got it sooner if he just waited a little bit longer. It says, and so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So this morning, let patience work in your life. The Bible says in Romans 15 verses 4 and 5, it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So let patience work in your life. And let us not try other people's patience. Let us not be those things that cause other people to have to deal with it. Amen? But most important thing is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can't have the fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering, unless you know Christ as your Savior. And you receive the Holy Spirit. So this morning, do you know Him as your Savior? Do we need more patience? We all need more patience. Everybody needs some patience. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask You this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to be patient and wait on You. Father, just reveal things in our lives, Lord, that we need to not do to other people, Lord. Father, to not test their patience, Lord. And Father, help us, Lord, to be able to endure and have patience ourselves. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.